Sinn Féin demand respect, but they need to show it themselves, is what you're saying.
Tell
us why.
Well, you were covering it yesterday, Gerry Adams, who referred on RTE to former Secretary of State Owen Paterson as a complete tube, quote-unquote.
Shall we hear it, actually, to let everyone else hear it? Let's listen to this.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say that Owen Paterson is a complete tube. I met with Owen Paterson and introduced him to the people from Ballymurphy who had lost their loved ones. He was moved. This is when he was Shadow Secretary of State. He was moved almost to tears by their account. When he became Secretary of State a few months later, he completely changed and did nothing about the issues which they want dealt with.
Mike?
This is just totally disrespectful, and they're calling for respect. As I was going to say, if it was a one-off, you could probably shake your shoulders, throw your hands in the air and move on, but it's not a one-off. In September 2011, Carol McCullen said that Michael McDowell, who was an Irish government minister, was a complete gobshite. They seem very keen on the word complete, by the way. Gerry Adams, of course, used the B word, B-A-S-T-A-R-D word, when referring to unionists and saying the point of equality was to break the Bs. And Martina Anderson earlier this month told the Prime Minister to stick the border when the sun don't shine. So,
is that not political knockabout?
No, there's form here, Stephen. And what we're talking about and what Sinn Féin are demanding is respect. And I have been banging on about return to the values of the Belfast Agreement, the 1998 paragraph 2 talks about the opportunity for a fresh start and a chance to build reconciliation, trust, tolerance, and to show each other mutual respect. And we're not doing that. And I thought what was quite interesting, by the way, with another example from earlier this year, Michelle Gildenew said Sinn Féin were going to put manners on Arlene Foster, and Michelle O'Neill, who's now their Northern leader, or whatever the title is, was publicly critical of Michelle Gildenew. She said the language wasn't appropriate and that she'd gone too far because Michelle O'Neill was interested in integrity and respect. And she also said that she spoke to Michelle Gildenew about it. And yesterday we met Sinn Féin and we said, please ask Michelle O'Neill to have a word with Gerry Adams.
And what did they say?
Well, it was a private meeting, a confidential. So I haven't finished. Just a second. So we said, you need to have a word about this. And what I'm going to tell you is the response was not unsympathetic.
So you feel that Sinn Féin have assured you that they're going to have a word with Gerry Adams about his language?
I think they understood entirely where we're coming from, and I would hope, because they didn't make a commitment, but I would hope that they'd go away and reflect on it. Now, you know we issued a news release yesterday. I gave a copy of the news release to a very senior member of Sinn Féin. And I can tell you, actually, Carolyn Cullen was in the room. And we discussed her gobshite comment.
Is it not political knockabout for you all to use this type of nobody's dying over this language. There's not violence on the streets over this language. Is it not political knockabout that you should all be tough enough to take?
Is it leadership, Stephen? Is it the sort of leadership that I want Sinn Féin, the DUP, the SDLP and ourselves to give to the people of Northern Ireland, the people potentially listening to this programme, deeply frustrated at the lack of political goodwill and progress at Stormont? Is that the language of leadership that I want to see? No, it's not. It's not necessary.
Well, Tom Elliott, of course, has been a leader of the Ulster Unionist Party. Here's what he said about Sinn Féin in 2011.
From the scum of Sinn Féin than to come out like this.
Is that respectful?
No, it's not. But Tom was speaking at an election count. He was looking into the crowd. Sinn Féin, I think, were trying to provoke him, but he certainly saw the face of a man he believes was responsible for the murder of a close friend of his. So that's the context in which he said it. It still wasn't right for him to say it. But I have more sympathy because of the context than I do for Gerry Adams, who has form in terms of this serial disrespect of people who are different from him.
Yeah, I just, I, you know, I do just wonder when people are starting to actually feel the consequences of these talks, well, the executive breaking down. You know, we are being contacted by youth groups as just one example where they are actually losing their jobs. So kids are being affected because they're going to go to their youth group and the youth leader who they built up a relationship with is not there or won't be there. And there are consequences to this. And meanwhile, we're talking about words.
Because words are all important, Stephen. You make your money through the use of words. And it's not just the words, it's also the tone. And sometimes the tone is less than helpful. Not you. Politicians. In what way can it be helpful to call a political opponent a complete tube or a complete gobshite? Or to brand...
I don't think we should keep on using that word, by the way, at this time of the morning. So we get it. We get it. Three times is enough.
Well, then you're making my argument for me.
Any
you just made my argument for me if you're saying.
Well, I'm talking about using that word at this time in the morning when there may be kids listening, etc.
So you tell me, why will you not let me use that word? What is wrong with that word?
Well, it's a swear word, isn't it? And we're on the radio, and there could be children listening. So let's not get into that. You were a broadcaster for a long time. You know exactly why.
That's the whole point. You are making my argument for me. I do not need to be on the radio anymore. You're making the point that Carol McCullen shouldn't have used that word about Michael McDowell.
Tell me this before you go. any sign of progress? Where are we at in Northern Ireland?
I think we're in a dead week, is my assessment. But I'm always cautious because while there may be a talks process involving the five big parties, there is always a parallel process of talks between the DUP and Sinn Féin, possibly brokered by the British government, possibly involving the Irish government. But from where I've been sitting, very little has been happening this week. But I think the parties we have spoken to realise that we're drifting, and we certainly don't want to drift next week. I suppose the biggest thing for me this week is that I contacted the head of the civil service and said that the R party spokespeople wanted briefings about the pressures and the difficulties department by department. Sir Malcolm has come back to me to say he will address that at the start of next week. And I think maybe that would be good if all the parties were to hear from the permanent secretaries of every department, health, housing, education, everybody else, so that we understand not just the headline figure, but how it's going to impact department by department, policy by policy, because the people of Northern Ireland, as you suggest, are starting to hurt because of our failure to find a way forward.